Well, I'm going to talk to you one more time here, and I know that all of us have things yet to do this afternoon. I think 2:30 is when we're supposed to get out of here, and so I need to get on the road, and I know you all are getting on the road and heading down the way, and so I have enjoyed my time with you. Thank you. You've been so kind. You have been so courteous in your statements and your words to me, and I appreciate so much Brother Johnston taking good care of me and allowing me to be here with you after so many years, having been here last time. Let's talk about one last subject, and maybe it is the most important subject: walking with God. Walking with God. Let's take our Bibles and go to Genesis chapter number 6, and I will be brief, because I know that they taught us in college, the mind can only endure what the other part of your body is able to as well. So I think you know what I mean by that. You've been sitting so long, and we've been in church already for a few hours. And so let's take the Bible, Genesis chapter number 6. And I could not think of a better passage to go to when Brother Johnston asked me to talk about our walk with God, our daily walk with God, than the first time in the Scriptures where we find this phrase that this man walked with God. Actually, we're going to find it in chapter 5 and chapter 6. But just for the sake of the reading right now, let's look at chapter number 6. And we'll pick up our reading in verse number 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank you so very much there, Brother Johnston. I'm going to take a drink of that right now. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then look at verse number 9 is our text. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And would you read the last phrase of verse number 9 with me? Ready? And Noah walked with God. Can we all read that again? Ready? And Noah walked with God. Father, help us, I pray, as we talk about a walk with you. I pray that it would be personal. I pray that it would be relational. Lord, I pray that it would be something that every day we have to do. We can't make it through the day without it. And Lord, may I be able to open up some thoughts about this walk with you that we should have. Bless this church now in this last session. In Jesus' name, amen. Arguably, this would have been the darkest time in world civilization. I know that it's pretty dark right now, and I know that the coming of the Lord Jesus is probably just around the corner. I know that there are things today that we are dealing with that maybe we have never had to deal with before, technology being what it is. But according to the Scriptures, this was such an evil generation that God actually had to destroy it with a flood. Now, I'm glad that he put a rainbow in the sky. You know what the rainbow means, right? I'll never flood the earth again. Maybe we need to remind those folks down in North Carolina right now of his promise that he would never flood the world. He would never destroy the world again with a flood. There is going to come a time, you know, as well as I, that God will destroy this earth. We're going to get to go to heaven for all of eternity with God. Amen. And those that are unsaved will go to hell for eternity. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and we know that. But my point is that it's very interesting to me that in the darkest period, arguably the darkest period in history, we find that there was a man who walked with God. Wonder why God told us that. I wonder why in the surrounding culture in which Noah lived, that maybe those of us that live in 2018 can say, as dark as our culture is, if Noah can live for God and walk with God, maybe I can live for God and walk with God. I think too often we blame the culture for our backslidden state. We say, well, there's just too much junk out there, and there's too much stuff on the TV, and there's too much worldliness around me, and my flesh is too strong. No, maybe our problem is we're not close enough to God. Maybe we don't take time to daily walk with God. Yeah, verse 5 says that the wickedness of man was great. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Look down in verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. But may I say, except Noah, because Noah was a man that walked with God. Noah wasn't perfect, but Noah was a man who walked with God. I said that there are two instances of men being listed in these passages of walking with God. The other man is the man by the name of Enoch. Would you look back at chapter 5? You're in chapter 6. Go back one chapter. Look at chapter 5, verse 22. This is the first time that that phrase is found in our scriptures. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Verse 24, and Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. So watch. So three times about two different men in a generation that is so evil that God had to destroy them. But he says, but watch Noah and watch Enoch. Hey, these were some men that have something about them that I love. And these men learned some things by walking with God that maybe others didn't know. And I wrote this down. Our generation cannot walk with God because they don't know God. Hey, no wonder this culture is walking away from Him. They don't know God. But may I ask you a question? Why then as Christians or believers, why do we walk away from God? Could it be that we don't know Him as well as we should? Could it be that we don't walk with Him as well as we should? Hey, can I say this? Do you know why marriages end up in divorce? I'll tell you why. And there's a lot of reasons, but one reason is they quit walking together. They quit walking hand in hand. You know what I love about Brother Johnston and Mrs. Johnston when they sing? Have you always noticed he either has his hand or arm around her or they're holding hands while they sing? I think that's a pretty sweet thing, don't you? Maybe that's Mrs. Johnston's way of keeping him on key. If he gets off key, she squeezes his hand, you know. That's the first laugh I've gotten out of them for 2 days. That was a good joke right there. But don't you think it's sweet that they are close with each other? Who thinks that married couples ought to be close with each other? Absolutely they ought to be. Amen. They walk together. You know what happened? You know why people divorce? Because they stop walking together. Do you know why you backslide sometimes? You quit walking with God. That's why. You start walking with the world. You start playing with the things of the world. You go back to where you used to be instead of walking with the one who loves you the most. Walked with God. Our generation cannot walk with God because they don't know God. We won't take time, but you could go to Romans chapter number 1 and you'll find how God talks about the generation 2,000 years ago in which the period of time in the New Testament was being written. But in our generation as well, that there was no righteousness. There was no seeking after God. It was all there about their own pleasure. That's kind of what our situation now is in our culture. I don't want to be sucked into that, folks. I want to be one that walks with God. I want to be one that comes out of this world. Remember I said a moment ago we have to live in the world? But you know what your walk with God can do? It can kind of let you live above the world. You see that? Doesn't the Bible say in Colossians, set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth? And maybe if we were looking above and keeping our eyes on the Lord, maybe we would want to walk with Him more that daily time. A walking with God. Walking with God dictates, watch this, that there be a commonality. What do I mean by that? You're not going to walk with someone that you don't find things in common with. Right? Do you know why buddies hang out sometimes together? It's because maybe they like the same things. They like the same football team maybe. Or they like to golf together. Or down where I'm from in West Virginia, you know what they do down in West Virginia? They hunt together. And hunting season, I gotta tell you a quick story. I was in my office two Saturday mornings ago. Early, I was about 6:30. Sun was just coming up. And all of a sudden, I hear this big boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, that's close. What in the world's going on? Now we have about 40 acres of property. I looked out my office door and there were three men of our church. Brother John Kidwell was one of them. They were on our ball field shooting geese because had just opened that morning, and we have had problems with Canadian geese. I'm sorry. That's what they're called. I'm sorry. There are now fewer Canadian geese in West Virginia because 2 weeks ago, but my point is, those guys loved. They post about it on Facebook. They had pictures of them holding it up. You know, now it was all legal. All right, they're allowed to do this. In fact, West Virginia is an open carry state. I got guys that come carrying. I mean, it is the safest place in Martinsburg, West Virginia. I promise you that. On a Sunday, I'll let you listen to me. What brings them together? They like to hunt. They you know why they walk together? Because they like the same things. You know why you're married to that person? Some of you are saying, I have no idea why. We have nothing in common, right? I'll tell you why. Because something drew you together. Hey, what draws you together with God? What common things do you have with God? Can I remind you what Amos 3:3 says? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, the answer to that is no. I'm not going to walk with someone I don't agree with. I'm not going to fellowship with the, remember we just read it, with the unbelievers. I don't agree with them. I'm not going to go and be best friends with those people. I don't agree with them. You know why? They don't agree with God. I want to agree. I want to hang out with people that hang out with God. Can I say it that way? That's what I love about church. We all like hanging out with God, right? Is that too casual? I hope not. Because I think we need to hang out with God. God likes hanging out with you. God likes living in your heart. Did you know that? He loved you so much that he said, I'm going to put the Holy Spirit of God living inside your body. In fact, I'm going to call it my temple. Doesn't the Bible say your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost? So whether you like it or not, friend, God's with you every day of your life. But sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, don't we? The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Sometimes we do things that we shouldn't do, and the Spirit says, oh, that hurts me. When really what we ought to be doing is every morning we ought to wake up and say, okay, God, what are my marching orders for today? Lord, I want to walk with you today. I want to talk with you today. Doesn't that remind you of one of the great old hymns? And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Is that your walk? It's really sweet. It's really special. Because you and God have so much in common. That's really where it starts, church. He wants you to be like him. Now, remember the last session we talked about having standards of convictions and put some things and change some things. Do you know that that never will take place until we first understand my desire is to be like him. Oh, to be like him. We just sang it, right? Precious Redeemer. God, today I'm coming. It's a new day. I walked with you yesterday, but now today I have a problem that I need you for and with. And God, we had some victories yesterday, but I can't live on the past. Did you know you can't live on the past? You can't live on yesterday's walk with him. You need a fresh walk today. And you're going to need a fresh walk tomorrow. Because we have problems of life and we have issues and things that we're dealing with. And he says, hey, just let me walk with you on that. Because we got some stuff in common. Remember the Bible says in Galatians 5 and verse number 16, walk in the Spirit. We're talking about walking, right? Walking with God. Walk in the Spirit so that you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Do you know why we fulfill the lusts of the flesh? You're not walking with God. That's why. If we're walking with the Spirit, then it's almost like that Mrs. Johnson holding on to Brother Johnson's hand. He's not going anywhere. He's staying right here beside me while we sing this song. Maybe the Holy Spirit of God needs to hold on to you and not let you wander. If you started the day with him, walking with God dictates there be a commonality. Can I show you this? Look back in chapter 5. Remember, who was the first or the second man we talked about walked with God? His name was Enoch, right? And Enoch walked with God, verse 22. But look at verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, look this way. Do you know that there is a special story in the New Testament about this Old Testament man by the name of Enoch that gives us a little bit more information about what this God took him meant? It's found in Hebrews chapter number 11. If you want to turn there, you may, but I'm just going to read it real quick here. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 5, the Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated. That means that he went from heaven to earth. He was one of the few that did not physically die. God took him, the Bible said. He was translated, and the Bible says, I'm reading now from Hebrews 11:5, and that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, watch this, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Do you know why God took Enoch? Number one, they were walking together every day. My daddy used to say, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, Enoch and God were walking. And they walked and they walked and they walked and they talked and they talked and they talked. And they talked, and it was hours and hours and hours. And God looked at Enoch one day and said, Enoch, you know what? You and I are closer to my house than yours. I think I'll just take you home with me. Now, I don't know if that's how it happened or not, but I like that analogy. Do you just walk with God so much throughout the day that you're just like living in His house? Isn't that the way it should be? Look, let's quit doing this Sunday church thing. Well, we're going to get all dressed up and gonna have my Bible and I'm in church. And so I'm doing my spiritual thing for a couple of hours and then we never give God another thought till next Sunday. I don't think that's the way it's supposed to be, church. I don't know about you, but I need God every day of my life. How about you? That'd be a good place to say amen right there. I need Him every day. And that's a part of that walk. That daily walk. And the Bible says he had this testimony that he pleased God. Do you please God? Is God pleased with you? Is God pleased with your testimony? Let me give you a few thoughts from Genesis about this walk that Noah had. Would you please with me? I want you to see, first of all, that this walk that Noah and God had was a walk of maturity. A walk of maturity. Look at verse number 9. You're back in Genesis chapter number 6. The Bible says in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and, I want you to see the word, perfect. In his generations. He was perfect. Now that's the word, our word, in the Hebrew word, it's tamim, and it means blameless, entire, whole, or complete. It's not really the way we use the word perfect, the Bible word perfect, it just means there's a maturity there, there's a growth that has taken place. And Noah walked with God in such a way that there was a maturity about him. In fact, the Strong's Concordance, as I was reading and studying for this message, the word here, perfect, in the Strong's Concordance, here's what it said. When one is described by this word, there is nothing in his outward activity or his internal disposition that is odious to God. It describes his entire relationship to God. Everything about Noah's walk was mature. Let me use marriage here because we're talking about relationships. Don't you know that the longer you're married, the more mature your relationship ought to be? Hey, you know what? My wife and I, we've been married 28 years. We don't fight anymore. I'm just going to tell you, we never have a fight. We never have an argument. I know you're saying, Pastor, that is not true. That can't be true. Everybody argues. No, because after 28 years, we both have tried to let the Lord so work in our lives and in our marriage, and I realize that often fighting is immature. It's petty. Have you ever had a fight with your wife or with someone else, and then you 2 days later you thought, what in the world were we doing? That was the stupidest thing we ever did. We lost 2 good days of our life, right? Because we were being petty. I wonder how many days you lose with God because you're not maturely walking with Him. Your relationship is not what it should be and needs to be. There's a maturity that needs to come with our walk. It's just like an older person, someone that is aged, and I'm going to be 50 this year, so we're going to say, you know, 70 and above, amen? Someone 70 and above, way old. Hey, the older you get, shouldn't you become more mature? Shouldn't you have a little more wisdom about the things of life? But I've met some older people sometimes that are so petty. And they get bitter about so many things. And they get grumpy. And they become a curmudgeon. You ever heard that word? I like that word, a curmudgeon. I mean, he's just always upset about everything. I don't understand. Someone who's been a believer for 50 years, they ought to be some of the sweetest people on the face of the earth. You know why? Because they've been walking with God a long time. And the longer you walk with God, the more like God you ought to be. And that's the maturity that ought to come. I wrote four things down. This mature walk, number one, has a desire to please God. We just saw that. His testimony was, Enoch's testimony was that he pleased God. A desire to please God, a determination to live for God. Number three, a doing that which desire and determination require of me. And then a deep love for righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. We're going to find that in just a little while later in the sermon. You know why? Because he loved righteousness. Does your walk with God entail that you have a deeper love for the things of God? Hey, may I remind you what Jesus said in Matthew 5? In the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. If you thirst after righteousness, I think you'll want to walk with him every day. Because he is the one where righteousness is found. Amen. There's a mature walk. Can I say the second word in my outline here? Number one, this walk was a walk of maturity. Number two, it was a walk of longevity. Look at verse 9. And you've known me now. This is my eighth time preaching to you in 2 days, right? You understand that I like to preach from the context. I think every word is important here. In fact, I think every letter of every word is important because I want to show you a word that helps me to give you point number two. How long did Noah walk with God? Look at verse 9. These are the, what's the next word there? Generations. Do you see the S on the end? Noah lived for God for multiple generations. In fact, the Bible tells us in chapter 5, verse 32, that Noah was 500 years old when he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And he was 600 years old when the flood came. Now, they lived longer than we do now, all right? Everybody get that? But my point is this. The Bible says Noah walked with God for a really long time. That's longevity. How long have you been walking with God? Now, I understand some of you teenagers, you're just starting out. Well, why don't you look at some of the older folks, the older Christians in your church and in your circle and in a sphere of influence. We just lost a great hero of the faith a few months ago down in the States. You may have heard of Dr. Bobby Robertson. Pastored the same church for 62 years. That's pretty incredible. You look at men like Dr. Lee Robertson. You and I were talking about him, Brother Jeanette. I mean, good grief, 40-some years at the same church, and he lived into his 90s. Just a man that loved and lived for God. Longevity. There's something to be said about longevity. Your walk with God should have a longevity about it. Watch this. Here's what we do. Well, we read our Bible 3 days in a row, and then we miss three. And then we read it 4 days in a row, and then we miss five. And then I'll go a whole month, and I'll really be doing good, and then I won't pick it up for 6 months. Isn't that the way we are? We're a mess, aren't we? Can we all agree we're a mess? Amen. We are a mess. Aren't you glad God loves us even though we're a mess? But you know what? God wants you to walk with Him every day. That's His desire. He says, I want you to love me, and I want you to walk with me, and I want it to be for a long, long time in His generations. I've been saved for 45 years. I've been preaching for 37 years. I've been in full-time ministry for 28 years. I've been a pastor for 23 years, a senior pastor. And I know that may not sound like a long time to a lot, but that's more than most in this day of quitting. And I look back and I say, man, Lord, you and I sure have been on a lot of journeys together. You and I sure have gone through a lot of valleys together. You're not going to make it through the valleys of life if you're not walking with Him, friends. You're going to quit. You're going to tuck tail and run. You're going to get depressed. That's why a daily walk with God is so very important. And can I just challenge you before we go to point number three? Are you ready? Would you just decide that you are going to walk with God every day of the rest of your life? Just every day of the rest. That's not asking much. When he gave it his all for you to go to heaven, do you think you could spend a little time with him each day walking with him? A prayer time, a time of Bible, a time of thoughts, a time of meditation, of telling God you need him. The longer you walk, the farther you get. That's a good statement. The longer you walk, the farther you get. Remember I said Enoch? They just walked and walked and walked and walked, and they said, hey, man, we're real far from your house. Just come on home with me. He'd walked a long way with God. Can I say number three, the word adversity? There's maturity, there's longevity, but Noah had to walk with God even through adversity. Do you know that Noah was not believed that there was a flood coming? Do you know that the Bible says, watch this, Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. Guess how many converts he had? Seven. And they were all his family, right? Mrs. Noah, his three sons, and their three wives. That's all that got on the ark. Am I telling you the truth? Eight people got on the ark. After he preached for 120 years. Don't tell me they didn't call him nuts. You're crazy, old man. What are you doing building a boat? We've never had a flood before. It's never even rained before. What in the world are you doing? He says, I don't know. I'm just following God. You're going to have to also go through some adversity if you're going to walk with God. This could have deterred him. This could have made him quit. Look, when he went down to get his building permit for that ark, and they gave him trouble like they give everybody trouble when they build buildings. Do they do that up here in Canada? They probably do, right? He would have said, man, forget this stuff. No, but God's given me a job to do. And I'm going to build that ark, and I'm going to walk with God, and I'm going to rear my family right, and we are going to stay on the straight and narrow. You see, longevity through adversity develops maturity. Those are the three words I've used thus far. Longevity through adversity develops maturity. Sometimes God's just going to test your faith. He just wants to say, how much do you love me? Hey, read your Bible even when it's hard, friends. Pray even when you don't feel like praying, because that's probably when you need it the most. Everybody with me? That's probably when you need it the most, is when you don't feel, when your heart's so far away and you're so cold from the things of God, and he says, hey, remember me? Let's walk together today. Let's walk together today, even through adversity. Can I give you two more words? Number four word is the word productivity. I said that Noah's walk with God had a maturity about it, had a longevity about it, had an adversity about it, and it also had a productivity about it. What do I mean by that? Skip over to verse 18 and 19. I mentioned a moment ago that those that got on the ark with him were his children and their mates. And I want you to show you in verse number 18, chapter 5 of Genesis, verse 18. God is now giving the covenant to Noah that he's going to keep him safe, and that Noah will be the one that God will use to repopulate the earth and such. And he says, but with thee will I establish my covenant. In fact, I've got it written in my Bible. That's the first time the word covenant is mentioned in our Bible. Covenants are mentioned all throughout Scripture. This is the first time. God says, Noah, you and I have a covenant together. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark. Now watch the next phrase. To keep them alive with thee. Look this way. There's a productivity to walking with God. What do you mean by that, preacher? Watch this. Because Noah walked with God, and because Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and because Noah believed God and Noah had faith all the way through the 120 years of adversity, and the rain starts to fall and they get on the ark, and the only people that come with them are his sons and his sons' wives. And God says, I want you to know, watch Noah, you have produced something. You pass down your faith to your family. I want you to get that. You're not going to walk, you are not going to pass your faith down, sir or ma'am, to your children if you are not faithfully walking for God and walking with God. You're going to lose your family maybe if you're not walking with God. Noah produced another generation that followed in his footsteps. That's a great thought right there, and I wish I could preach it a long time. We've been talking about the home and the family today, but it really fits right there. The productivity of his family walking with God as well. Your walk with God will influence those coming behind you. I love to hear now when my daughters talk about their walk with God, as they talk about what they learned in Scripture and how their prayers were answered. And as they've become now young adult ladies and making their own decisions, I'm so glad to see them making wise choices. You know why? I think really it's a benefit of mom and dad showing our girls how to walk with God and make it real. It's not just some spoofle dust. It's not just some little Sunday thing we do. It's a lifestyle of walking with God. And then can I just give you the last word? And here's the word. And I think some of you are saying, well, preacher, again, you grew up in a preacher's home and you went to Bible college and da-da-da-da, and I just can't do this like you can. Here's the word. Capability. I'm going to show it to you in the Scriptures. You can walk with God. Can I show it to you in the last verse of the chapter that we're studying, Genesis 5? Look at verse 22. I love the first three words. Thus did Noah. He did it. Oh, I'm sorry, chapter 6. Chapter 6. I said 5. Thank you, Brother Johnston. That's why you're looking so strangely at me. You can't figure where I'm at, right? Chapter 6, verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Hey, can I say this? You can walk with God. Noah did. And it was hard for him. It may have been the hardest ever. Remember where I started? Arguably the most corrupt generation that's ever lived. God had to destroy them. But Noah walked with God, and Noah walked with God for a long, long time. And he stayed faithful at it, and his children followed him. And God used him to salvage an entire civilization of people. You can have an influence, but you got to start with walking with God. Thus did Noah. You can walk with God, but you must do it. So watch. So you've heard a lot of preaching this weekend, and you're going to go home all fired up. And man, this is going to be great, and I'm going to have a great week, and Satan's going to be right around the corner. He's going to be waiting at your doorstep when you get home this afternoon. And he's going to be ready to discourage you from everything you've done. You're going to have to stand against the wiles of the devil and say, smutty face, go bother somebody else. I am going to walk with God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to have some convictions and some standards. My marriage is going to be right. My children are going to be reared according to the principles of the words of God. And I am going to charge hell with a squirt gun. Amen. And I'm going to do it in the power of God. For with him, all things are possible. You believe that? Philippians 4:13, you know what it says, right? I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. You can live for God. You can put some of these things that you've heard this weekend into practice. You may be, and I think you said it after the first session yesterday, we're going to have heard so much that our mind's going to be swimming. It's like, what? No, where do I start? Can I tell you, this lesson right here is the best place to start. Walking with God every single day. Make it real. Make it personal. Make it dynamic. Make it life-changing. And you and God walk throughout life, through the valleys and on the mountaintops. And we get to the end of the journey and we look back. And God says, you and I did this thing together. We got through life together. Now, let me give you a reward. Let me bring you to a place I've been preparing for a long time for you, a place called heaven. And there our walk will be so sweet and so pure because there'll be no sin. Amen. In heaven, all of this has passed away. And behold, all things are become new. So let's learn right now to practice. Can we say that? Let's practice for living like we're going to live for all of eternity with our Father in heaven. A walk with God. Let's pray, please.